John, hey, Robin, how's it going?
Good. Climate smart glacier country. Is that right?
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe I got it wrong.
You said county, but you know.
Okay.
We're here in Flathead County.
Yeah, we're coming to the end of it. Steve has been with us before. We've had a lot of really cool conversations about the environment. So what about a climate action plan? I think we actually have one now.
Well, Whitefish is working on one. First one in the valley. They've got climate action plans in, I think, three or four other communities around Montana. First one up here. And Whitefish has taken a little different approach. It's pretty interesting. So we've got it. City Council appointed a citizens committee, which is probably about 10 months ago. They got started, a climate action plan committee. And so they're working on this thing right now. Just did a update. I'm helping them out as the project manager. We're a partner. Our Climate Smart Glacier Country is a partner with the city and the school district working on this.
So what's the process now of getting all of this going?
Well, we're sort of making it up as we go along. And so that's why I decided they asked me to step up and be the project manager, because we've got all these busy people, just citizens. We're all volunteers. I'm a volunteer as well. And everyone's busy, and everyone's working on these different chapters, and we've been defining what are we actually going to focus on. And the council has given us some direction. They've basically said, we want you to focus on energy efficiency, energy conservation. We want to save the city money and reduce the amount of energy we waste. We also want to understand, what does climate change mean for us? And especially coming out of this last summer where it was just really hot and dry, we had a flash drought. I mean, there's new terminologies to explain part of what's going on these days. What does that mean for us? And how can we prepare for that? So it's sort of a dual charge there, is to reduce our emissions, conserve energy, and to understand and prepare for climate change. And that's interesting. We're working with the process. We're working with the school district, and we got these kids that are involved in envisioning 2050. They're the ones that are going to be. I don't know if I'll be here in 2050, but we got a bunch of young people that will be. And that's a little more than 30 years out. So what do you guys see in your future? What do you want to create for your future? And what can we do now to get it started?
So now there was some research or something, an assessment done. And what does it look like between now and 2050? Do you have a view of that?
The Montana Climate Assessment came out just this fall from Montana State University and University of Montana. And what we've been seeing in recent years is going to be more of in the future. And in particular, the summers are going to be hotter and drier. So overall, the annual precipitation and average rainfall is expected to be about the same and might even increase a little bit. So we're talking a little bit more fall, winter, and spring rain, but the summers are going to be drier, they're going to be hotter, and that's going to cause some issues for forest fires and agriculture and that sort of thing.
You know, when we got our Christmas tree, it's a natural cut tree from out in the forest, and notice that it's considerably drier. That tree is drier. It just isn't like it was last year.
I was talking to my friend Paul, works up at Stoltz, the other day, and he was saying he had never seen the dry conditions that they experienced in the forest. They were really nervous. We dodged a bullet because we just didn't have the ignition sources. We didn't have the lightning so much here in the valley, so we got off pretty scot-free. But that's not the case for a lot of places, and that's just the roll of the dice there.
And then you look ahead to next summer. What is on the horizon?
Your guess is as good as mine. I mean, we do know that, any given year, hard to say. I mean, there's still going to be variability, but what we can say, looking to 2050, is it's more likely that any given summer is going to be particularly hot and dry. The fire seasons are getting longer, and the conditions are getting more severe.
So let's talk about the Paris Agreement now, because we as the United States has backed away from the Paris Agreement. But we also understand that none of the industrialized nations that are signatories to the agreement are meeting the goals that they had set for themselves in the agreement.
Well, the agreement's a couple years old. It's just getting rolling, but it's a big task. And the United States is the leader. We've always been, ever since World War II and before that, we have been a global leader economically, politically, morally, and we've sort of provided the beacon light for the rest of the world. And that is really continuing. I mean, that's how the Paris Accord came together. We had the United States and China get together beforehand and sort of come up with some agreements that set the stage. Each country set their own their own criteria and their own goals. But the United States has not backed off. The United States federal government in Washington, D.C., yeah, they're maybe playing some games there, not sure exactly what's going on. But the rest of the country, Whitefish among them, there's been about 400 cities all over the country that said, hey, we're still in. We're going to do our part. We got states all over the country saying we're going to do our part. And we're still on track to try to meet our objectives that we committed to, along with every other nation in the world.
So one of the things that the Paris Peace Accord, our climate accords, they're trying to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 26% by 2025. And that's like, that many years, 7 years away.
That's right. Yeah, and that's actually what the United States said we would do. Some countries said they would do more. Some countries said they'd do less. But that's what we agreed that we would do. And that's relative to 2005. So you have to look at the baseline of 2005. Okay. And we actually have been making some progress in large part, sort of an irony. I mean, the renewable energy industry is just going gangbusters in terms of wind energy and solar energy. Natural gas has become much more affordable. And so it has really sort of taken business away from coal. Natural gas emits half the pollution that coal does. And so that's really helped the United States reduce our emissions. I think we might be able to make it as long as local communities, cities, states, and businesses are doing just amazing job, amazing things going on in the private sector.
Now, what are some of the things that Whitefish is hoping to accomplish in this?
Well, we're looking at a couple different strategies. We've sort of assessed the landscape and figured out, okay, what's already happening and where are the priorities? And after this last summer, we realized that maybe the most important thing we can do is to really focus on becoming a fire-adapted community. I was talking to the fire chief a few weeks ago, and he was extremely nervous. And we're seeing, sort of thing he's nervous about is the sort of thing that we're seeing right now happening in California, that these fires are coming out of the hills and they're coming into communities. These ember, if you get a windstorm driving a fire, those embers can go a couple miles and that can go right into a community. And so we're really developing some strategies with the fire department about how we can become a fire adapted community. Water conservation is going to be another important adaptive strategy because with the hotter, drier summers, people want to use more water for irrigation. And there's because we have surface water up there, comes out of Haskell Basin and Whitefish Lake. So we want to try to conserve water, which also conserves energy. On the energy front, we're in the process of building a new wastewater treatment plant. It'll be online in a few years. We're looking to offset that by creating a very large solar array farm. And we're talking to Flathead Electric Co-op, Bonneville Power Administration, and the National Renewable Energy Laboratory to figure out the feasibility of developing a large solar farm to basically provide the energy that's going to be required for this new wastewater treatment plant.
I mean, you travel out on the High Line, Highway 2 there, between Cutbank and Chester, and you see literally hundreds of these wind generators, windmills.
Yeah.
And hundreds of them.
Another one I just saw the news yesterday, the one down near Judith Gap is coming online now too. Mm. And they're working with Northwestern Energy on that. We got wind in this, not so much on the west side here, but the east side, they've got wind. Mm-hmm. It makes a lot of sense to harness that.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is something that's a little bit telling too, is that many farmers are finding that leasing that little space for those wind generators or windmills it actually makes them more money than the crops that they could have raised on that chunk of land.
Yeah, absolutely. It creates a little bit of inconvenience because they gotta, take their tractors, it's a small price to pay for the type of lease revenues they're making on that.
Now, what about has there been any research regarding what we can expect in the winter as far as maintaining or contributing to the water table as far as the snow levels? That kind of a thing, or are we looking at diminishing there?
So up in the high country, at least let's look through 2050. It looks like we'll probably continue to have pretty good snow up in the high country, and I don't know, maybe that's over 6,000, 7,000 feet. In the mid elevation and the low elevation, we're seeing it here right now, Lower elevation, we're going to have more rain than snow. And there's going to be continue to be a mix, but the overall ratio of rain and snow will continue to favor rain. And, you know, it used to be, you know, you get like, we always used to call it back in the early 90s, the January thaw. You know, you'd get a few days in January where it would get below zero. You might even get a little bit of rain and things would thaw out and get some ice. Now we have, you know, the December thaw and the late December thaw and the early January. I mean, we go back and forth between the freeze-thaw cycle, which is actually, I'm what they call a wild ice skater. I go out on these lakes, right, and go skating. I love it. Used to be that when you go out on the lakes, you had one shot. I mean, it would freeze, you'd have 2 days, and then it would snow, and that's it.
Yeah.
But now,
yeah,
it thaws, then it rains, then it freezes again. You get another shot at that lake.
Here's an interesting phenomenon. About a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, and I forgot to mention this, John, I was going across the old steel bridge. The river was all the way up to the top of the ramp in the parking lot. And just 2 days before, it had been out in the middle of the river with the gravel bars and everything. So they must have released water from Hungry Horse or somewhere because it's back down again. But I mean, it for like 1 day, it was high. And I thought, what's going on there? That was the way it's being managed. Maybe they were anticipating a big snow or something, and they thought, we better release some water.
Or maybe they need some water downstream.
That could be.
Yeah, boy.
Well, anyway.
Lots to talk about when it comes to climate change. And so what's next on the agenda now for the Whitefish Group?
Well, so tomorrow we have a workshop with the department directors at the City of Whitefish. And our committee has developed the first set of draft strategies and actions. We've got five different chapters we're working on just on the city part. And so we're going to go and meet with all the city staff because they're the ones that are primarily going to be implementing it. You know, we're looking primarily at city operations. Also, the plan will also encompass the school district. And then we're going to have suggestions on what you can do as a family or as a community. And we're going to also look at what the city can do to help the community reach some of these objectives. But those are going to be more along the lines of advisory or, you know, good tips. So focus primarily on municipal city operations.
Okay. Well, we'll talk with you again real soon and get another update.
Sounds good, John. Thanks for having me.
Steve Thompson from Climate Smart Glacier Country, helping to put together the climate action plan for the city of Whitefish. KGEZ 2020 News Time, 9:48. The grand reopening was a couple weeks ago now at the Blue Canyon Kitchen and Tavern. And boy, oh boy, people are loving it. Robin, you have been there. You did a little recon for us.
Yeah, recon for dinner is what I did there. Yeah, and both my wife and I had the prime rib. Well, they have prime rib on the menu every night of the week. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it doesn't, they keep your schedule. Whenever you want prime rib, you can go there. But they have a lot of other things on the menu. And I'm going to get by there tomorrow afternoon and pick up a menu for us,
so
we'll be able to see it, because they were beta testing it, and it's been rolled out. Yep. South end of the Hilton Garden Inn, Highway 93 South. We'll see you at the Blue Canyon Kitchen and Tavern.